For this episode of Let's Talk, we're going to talk about alternate universes. But before we dive in, a quick note on what's going to be covered today and what's not. We are not talking about retellings in this one, like Romeo and Juliet but Stony, or Pride and Prejudice but Stucky, because that's a whole other fascinating topic that we want to spend more time on. So instead, we'll be talking about alternate universes in general. So alternate universes, or AUs, are stories where the setting is anything other than the one from canon. Some of them have ended up with kind of coined names of their own, which usually come with expected tropes and assumptions, like with a high school AU or a Regency AU, and there's many, 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 many more. But there's also an endless production available here.
Alternate universes are my favorite. And I write more of them than anything else. So everyone's mileage varies on them, and I respect that there are people that only exclusively read canon and some people that only read certain AUs. I read just about every kind. But I love the idea of taking these characters and stripping them of their superhero-ness or whatever, and examining the core of who they are. And that even means Tony, which I think a lot of people don't think of as much, because it feels maybe easy to separate Iron Man from Stark Industries. But I love thinking like, okay, so if he isn't Howard's son in this particular way that we encountered him in this particular canon, What about him still stays? Is he still this way if? And the same with Steve. So if he isn't this, the guy who got beat up in alleys and then got chosen for an experiment, what pieces of his personality are still the same? I love playing with that.
I love that too. I think there's an attraction there. And as a writer who's primarily characterization driven, it's a chance to get to sort of restart and explore the character over and over and over again in new ways. And as much as I love all the drama and angst and tension of canon, it's nice to play in other calmer sandboxes too. So I really, really love writing characters meeting for the first time, like meet cutes, and AUs are some of the absolute best places to get to do that.
Oh my gosh, they're so much fun. And the possibilities are endless. We're going to focus on three specific categories of AUs today, because if we were going to talk about we'd be here for longer than we already are, and you poor people suffer.
Our voices would be shot by the end.
Like, oh my gosh. So we've picked three. The first one we're going to talk about is the proverbial coffee shop AU. Then we're going to talk about space, and then we're going to talk about the Clinks Clunks universes, which is where one character is canonically the hero and the other one is the modern non-canonical version. And to do this, we're doing a hybrid of Let's Talk and The Plug. So we'll be talking about a specific fic for each of these categories. So first up, let's tackle coffee shops.
So I did do some math. There are 128 fics that are tagged coffee shop AUs, specifically in Steve Tony, and there were over 1,200 in the Marvel fandom that were tagged coffee shop. So why are people so into coffee shop AUs? I think that, I mean, we can definitely put coffee shop in the category of what we call mundane AUs, which are alternate universes where they're places where we real people could be. They're very relatable, and they're common, and a nearly universal experience is often part of it. These are taking characters we love that live in extreme circumstances and instead putting them in mundane circumstances and exploring that.
Yeah, so other examples of this would be like the very adjacent like bookshop ones, which is another weakness of mine.
Florist AU.
About to say, we did a florist thing for a little while.
Librarian, kindergarten teacher, firefighter even is fairly mundane.
Yeah, every summer we get the people who are like lifeguards.
Yeah, And certainly don't mean mundane in a negative way, but it identifies a category of alternate universes that are real life for average people.
I read a lot of contemporary romances that are set in small towns that do not exist in the real world, where everyone owns a bakery and or a cupcake shop.
Yeah.
And this is the fic version of those. It's the fic version of Hallmark with cursing. Like, yeah. It's nice. It's comforting.
So I think that there's a lot that plays into why specifically coffee shops are a popular AU. And for me, my feeling is that the biggest one of those is that it's a really easy way to get two very diverse people to have a regular, consistent interaction. You can either have a customer and a server, customer and customer, or server and server, but it lets you take, say, Tony Stark, the Tony Stark, or just a Tony Stark, but still maybe rich, well off, and have him bump into someone like your pre-serum Steve, who is a art student.
And also, it's a really good way to get groups of people together. We are, as a fandom, pretty obsessed with found family.
Mm.
And coffee shops are places where groups hang out together. And this is increasingly so as more and more coffee shops, in the United States anyway, kind of become hybrids. And there are places to be to play tabletop games and some other stuff like this as we continue to branch out from Starbucks's.
Yeah.
There's also the thing built within our, like, Tony loves coffee, and that's both fanon and canon. So it's easy to put him there in particular.
Even beyond that, I just think that caffeine addiction is so incredibly broad sweeping. And coffee shops also don't have quite the same range of accessibility and formality that restaurants can have. Mm. So like the restaurants that Steve would be going to, like food is a universal need, but the restaurant Steve would be going to in an mundane AU version of himself would be quite different from the one someone like Tony Stark would go to. And yet they probably have both gone to Starbucks.
Yeah, no, that's correct. It's an equalizer. Coffee is an equalizer.
Yeah. So I think that lets people explore relationships where there still is some kind of power dynamic to it or an inequality of some kind, and gives them a place to interact. But you were talking about groups of people as well. It's a good point, like couches, like on Friends, like this idea that people just grab a couch as a group of people and have their coffee and sit in a circle and talk about themselves or have, you know, emotional discoveries or make friends or fall in love or what have you.
Yeah. And it's a come and go situation. Like, it's the same reason that pubs work. If you're going to be writing like firefighter AUs, for instance, like people often go to the neighborhood bar because you often need somewhere where group, like you need a public spot a lot. If you're writing a big group of people where people can come and go and conversations can kind of interact at different times. And that's a really easy plot device for almost like outsider POVs in a certain way. Like if you're trying to write that Tony and Natasha are falling in love and you really want to figure out how all their friends feel about it, then having Sam make some sort of comment as Tony orders Natasha's drink is a real good way for us to get into that without you having to do a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a setting with a lot of flexibility and a lot of realism. And additionally, not a lot of specialized knowledge. If you want to write like a firehouse AU, then you have to, you know, if you're not a firefighter yourself, it's the kind of thing you need to do a little research on. But I think most people have at least spent a little bit of time in a coffee shop. The fundamentals of what kinds of coffees are available and how to make coffee are fairly accessible and fairly common knowledge. So I think that makes it attractive too.
True. Yeah. Or you could just either watch an episode of Friends or the movie You've Got Mail and you've pretty much got all the knowledge you need.
And also a lot of people in general, but also a lot of people in fandom have at least at one point in their lives worked retail. And these rather unique feelings of working in retail are fairly easy to dig into if you've been there and kind of give people an emotional diving board to start with.
Yeah, I love the coffee shop AUs where one of our couple is a worker and the other one is a customer.
That leads us into the story we actually picked for coffee shop AUs for our little embedded plug. We actually looked at a Winter Iron tale this time. It's called Of Coffee, Assholes, and Friends Who Are Little Shits by Tal Ruil. Did I say that horribly wrong? Almost certainly.
I have no idea. They are a wonderful author, though, so please keep writing.
They are.
To practice your name.
Feel free to come on the pod and let us know how to say it.
Yeah.
It's about 6K. It's rated M, and the AO3 summary reads, "Shitty customers were part of any service gig, and Bucky got that. He really did. He dealt with angry patrons screaming at him and each other, emotional ones crying for no reason that he could see, and kids way too young to even enjoy being in a coffee house, run, scream, and break things. He knew it was part of the job. Making coffee was the biggest part, but just under that was dealing with people intent on making him just as miserable as they were. Really, he understood and didn't usually pay such people much mind. Later, he might bitch a bit with his buddies, but otherwise, he was good at letting it go. This newest and most persistent pain in his ass, though, was great at getting under his skin.
And who do we think the pain in the ass is? Who do we think
the pain in the ass is? And he really is a pain in the ass.
Like, no, he, like, Tony's a dick in this one. Not in the, like, terrible way, but as you're reading it, it's like, buddy, if you think this is flirting, man, are you off base.
It's like 100% pigtail pulling.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because he's like, I don't know how to get the attention I want, so I will go with any attention I can get.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to sound negative, because it's very well done the way that that plays out, and it does feel very Tony.
It feels super Tony. It also, to me, this is peak who Bucky would be if he had never been the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting take on Bucky. Like, it did feel a little different than a lot of the Buckys that I have read. So that was interesting as well.
Yeah. Obviously, we should have said this up front, but, like, because this is kind of a plug, if you want to not get spoiled in any way, shape, or form, read them and then come back. But I will say, one of the things I liked the most about this is that they were both overtly thirsty for each other.
Yeah, it was kind of the balance between wanting to piss each other off and wanting to make out was very well done. And Bucky was constantly fighting with those two. And, like, by the end of the fic, I still don't feel that they had really, like, I think that that's a feeling that's going to persist throughout their relationship.
Oh, yeah, no. To cut off a fight, Bucky just started blowing Tony.
Yeah.
That's going, but, like, that's also, to me, one of the core Winter Iron dynamics. When I like and write Winter Iron, it's usually that kind of, like, I'm going to kill you and fuck you, and I don't know in what order I'm going to do it.
So. Yeah, no, I totally get that. And, like, even, like, Mr. Fair and I are, we like to argue, and we like to get under each other's skin and kind of, like, we'll have fake debates that can go on for a long time, where at least one of us is arguing a point that we really no longer believe in, but you do not step down.
Yeah, that's Winter Iron to me.
Yeah, so I can totally relate to that kind of relationship, and I do really enjoy reading it.
Yeah, I love in this one too, we don't often in Bucky and Tony fix, like, Steve is either completely absent, like, people don't know what to do with him at all.
Yeah.
Or they,
like, I will say that when I write Winter Iron, sometimes I have to leave Steve out, because otherwise it'll turn into Stuckoni. Like, he's just too attracted to both of them for me to keep him. You have to give him someone else to be distracted by.
Yeah, I pair him up with somebody else, but I like, in this one, he is Bucky's best friend.
He is.
And also Tony's friend, which I love. And at no point in time do I get an inkling that he is into either one of them. I just get a feeling that he's a little tiny pre-serum curmudgeon, and I love it.
I actually, yeah, there's very little time given to Steve and Tony's friendship in that fic, but what you get is so enticing that I want to read more that shows Bucky and Tony's relationship evolving, but then also getting to see what Tony and Steve are like as friends, because I think the little nuggets you get of their friendship is really, really intriguing.
So Steve works for Tony. He's in some sort, he's a marketing agent. It sounds like he's pretty high up.
Design. Yeah.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, his cubicle is the one Tony hides out in from Pepper.
I think there's something said along the lines of Steve being the only one willing to, like, kick him out when he's being obnoxious. So that's where he stays, because he knows that if he's allowed to be there, he's wanted.
Yeah. But, like, okay, so he hides out with Steve in this universe and not with Dummy and Butterfingers. I wonder why. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I love in AUs, and this one hit the nail on the head.
I really found it to be an interesting, fresh feeling take on all three and the various relationships therein. And it's not very long, but the little bits that you get are, yeah, really interesting.
Yeah. And I also love it played with Bucky only having one arm, and that he has a metal arm and that it's Hammer Tech. I always love a fic where we're going to make fun of Justin Hammer.
Yeah. And, like, I will never, ever, ever get sick of the trope of Tony wanting to make Bucky a new arm.
Nope, ever. Ever.
Never. And, like, Tony having a boner for the arm as well.
Yep,
is also, like, I'm never going to stop loving that, too.
That's, yeah. In terms of more cake, those are some of my categories of sprinkles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all in all, I would definitely like say this is a good example of a coffee shop AU because it opens in the coffee shop. It centers around the coffee shop in a lot of ways. The relationship with Bucky and Tony is based in the coffee shop.
And the fact that Tony is a customer changes the context of their relationship, which helps create the tension between them that wouldn't necessarily be there otherwise. Like in the fic, you are actually given a perfectly reasonable other excuse for them to meet, and that's that they are both very good friends with Steve. And so the fic could easily have been separated from the coffee shop and have Tony and Bucky meet through Steve, but the story wouldn't be there because the inherent contention of the power a customer has over a server is the critical tension point for them as they figure out what it is they want from each other.
So it's a perfect AU in that way, in that it is grounded in, we recognize these characters behave the way we think they're going to behave, but this has nothing to do with Marvel as we know it.
So speaking about nothing to do with Marvel as we know it, let's go not just a little further away, but a lot further away and talk about alternate universes that are set in space.
Yes, let's. So I say that and Ferret giggles because famously, I'm not a space person. I watch Star Wars and I have a ton of feelings about the last movie. So at me and we can talk about it. I've seen a bunch of Star Trek and it just never really grabs me. Mr. Flame loves space. He wanted to be an astronaut when he was little and seeing a SpaceX launch is on his bucket list. So at some point I will metaphorically drag you all along with me when I have to go do that. But I don't read it in my AUs that much because when it comes to my fic, I prefer stuff that is conversations like less about thrusters and more about thrusting.
You can have both.
And that's what I discovered. So I asked Ferret when we were first talking about this, if like space AUs were, for Marvel in particular, were they popular before Guardians? Is Guardians what happened? Is it mostly crossovers? So, and Ferret did research.
I did. You know me, I did some numbers. But actually, I can also say confidently that space AUs have been around forever. People have been writing them for, you know, all fandoms that they possibly can for a long time. Firefly was hugely popular, but that's, you know, definitely not the first time that people were using space stories as their settings, as what we call a fusion, where it can be set in another canon's setting without using their characters.
I mean, obviously Star Trek has been around forever, is the grandmother of fic. Yeah.
And we also have Star Trek, Star Wars, Babylon 5, Battlestar Galactica, SGA. Like, there's a lot of space canons that we can use for fusions, and people love space. But in MCU specifically, if you just look at space AUs, MCU is actually the second largest collection of space AUs on AO3. And the first one is BTS, which is the K-pop.
The Korean boy band.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So MCU has 362 space AUs. And the top three space AU ships within that are Stucky, Stony, and then Winter Iron.
Amazing. Amazing.
So probably some of those are Stucky.
These idiots in space. Yeah.
Yes, these idiots in space. And fusions are very popular in space AU. So you'll see you might see like a Star Trek AU or a Firefly AU or an SGA AU. And that's where they're taking the setting and the rules and the structure of the space canon, but putting our characters into that situation instead.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Many of them are just pure imagination. People love space. They love coming up with alien races and, I can't relate to this, but like the politics of different planets and probably a lot about space trains.
Some people enjoy world building. What?
You know what? I wasn't going to say the W word, but.
And world building was a huge part of this fic that we picked, even though to my memory, there is no train.
I don't believe there's a train, but spaceships are space trains, right? Like
without tracks. Okay. So, but there was nothing about steam engines or anything else. So Ferret, you were safe.
I was okay.
You were okay. So we picked By Guidance of the Stars by Guardian Mira from the 2018 Cap I Am Big Bang. It's rated E, and boy, is it. It's 28K, and the summary is that Steve is a space outlaw, and Tony is a blue-skinned alien prince who stows away on his ship. According to Steve's mark, they're soulmates. Too bad Steve doesn't know Tony's full name, and Tony doesn't know that soulmates are a thing for humans. Maybe they'll work it out once people stop shooting at them.
There's a lot to unpack there. I mean, first of all, it's a combination of soulmate AU, which I adore, and space, which is awesome. I will also say I don't read a whole lot of space AUs. I was blessed to get to beta this fic for an event, and I didn't know anything about it at the time. I had signed up as a beta, and I got contacted by the author, and it was so much fun to get to work on this and to get exposed to something that I probably wouldn't have clicked on of my own accord. And I was so pleasantly surprised by it, and I wreck it whenever I can.
Yeah, and I loved it. I'll say this. On the record, Flame loves a space AU. But I loved that there were enough elements of difference that were fun. Like, the names were spelled differently. I liked that Stark was a race and not just a family. But it all felt really familiar. Like, Tony's flirting was Tony's flirting. And his relationship with Pepper felt very authentic to me. And the reason I don't always love space AUs, I'll just be honest, is as much as I joke that I love world building, I get lost in names of different planets and how to keep all the new races straight. And it often makes me feel dumb. Like, I can't keep everything in my head. Mm-hmm. And so I get very overwhelmed very quickly by things I don't recognize. This didn't feel like that at all. And so it didn't ever take me out of the story. I was able to just lose myself with these two feckin' idiots.
That's what we're here for, right?
Yeah, I just wanted to spend time with these idiots. And you knew that it was all going to end terribly at one point. And you were just hoping, like, the question always with Steve and Tony for me is, like, of course it's going to end horribly. That's going to be the tension at some point. But how do they put it back together? How long are they idiots?
Right.
And this one struck the perfect balance. I just thought it was a really well-executed story.
Some of the things that are sort of drawn from canon are quite subtle, which I liked. Like, the twists, in some places, things are very the same, so we can feel very related to them, like the equivalent to the arc reactor. Mm-hmm. And then in some places, things are very different. And to get off space a little bit, I also loved, like, the space AU gave the room to have the soulmate thing, the line between them, because if it's, you know, with a soulmate AU, you have to figure out, why can't they just realize they are soulmates? In this case, the Starks, Tony's race of aliens, they don't have soulmates. But Steve's a human, and he does. And his happens to be, I will ruin it for you, Tony. But because Tony doesn't have a soul mark, he has no concept of that. So not only is there a misunderstanding between them, Tony is legitimately ignorant of this fact. So there is no... You don't have to do a double-sided misunderstanding there. Steve actually believes his soulmate is dead, which is a whole other layer of presumed dead. You know what? There's just so many tropes. I think maybe
that's what really gets you with this one?
Yeah, I just think that it was really clever to take a lot of tropes that maybe aren't generally associated with sci-fi or space AU and really, really apply them here. Like, the soulmate thing is really relevant, and the presumed dead stuff is done in a really, like, indulgently tropey way that I love. But it all just hangs together very well. And you've got Tony being a stowaway and a lot of misunderstandings and cute stuff with their names. And the differences between Steve and Tony that we see in canon, Steve being from the 40s, growing up very differently, rich and poor, like, that can come through in the way that they are from completely different planets in the space AU.
Yeah.
So I think it's like really, it's a lot of little things. And I agree with you that sometimes fantasy world building and sci-fi world building can just be a lot. And some people, that's their favorite part. You know, if you're a Tolkien who likes to draw maps and do conlangs, then
It seems like to do what?
Conlangs. Those are like invented languages.
There we go. I figured that, but somebody wasn't going
to
know it.
Sorry. So. yeah, it was one of Tolkien's favorite things to do was make up languages. And his, like, from a linguistics perspective, he was a linguist, and his languages are excellent. They have depth. It's not like he didn't come up with just like writing systems or something. He legitimately came up with whole languages. And that's amazing. And I'm deeply impressed from an academic standpoint, and have zero interest in doing that myself.
Yeah, I love worlds that feel rich, and I like a map. Big fan of a map. I don't love it when I have to refer to the map every two or three paragraphs.
Yes.
Like there's like a balance for me.
For sure.
This is a great place to say we have rec lists for each one of these categories.
Mm.
And so I plan on, for sure, diving a little bit more into the rec list for space AUs than I was maybe willing to before this fix. So thanks for being my gateway drug.
Nice.
By guidance of the stars. And speaking of world building, though, guys, we're so good at transitions. One of the AUs that doesn't require a ton of world building at surface, but can if you want to do it really, really intricately, is this whole clinks clunks situation that we've got going on within our fandom.
So in order to talk about what even clinks clunks means, we have to start with Stucky. Because the term shrinky clinks, which is where we're taking this from, is a version of the Stucky pairing. So it's small pre-serum non-superhero Steve with Winter Soldier Bucky. And originally it was mostly used for their appearance. Like it wasn't necessarily from those time points in their lives, but the idea was that it was the small version of Steve that we often call pre-serum Steve or small Steve or skinny Steve. And then that long-haired, slightly wilder, a little darker version of Bucky. So I don't know if you remember these, but in the 80s and 90s, they had these toys called Shrinky Dinks. And this is where the name originated. It was a joke, presumably. There actually isn't any exact recording of where the name Shrinky Clinks came from, but the Shrinky Dinks toys are definitely what the pun was the play on. And Shrinky Dinks were like these pages of plastic coated paper that you could color the plastic and take the paper off, and then you bake them and they shrink. You like cut them out and bake them. Maybe you didn't with real Shrinky Dinks, you didn't have to cut them out. They were like pre-cut. And they shrink and they become these like flat plastic charms, like the kinds of charms you can order on a lot of fandom stores.
They were incredible. They passed many, many summer hours for me.
They were pretty cool. And it's a little bit hard to explain, but I'm going to link in the show notes to one of the original Shrinky Dinks commercials, which also explains and shows how they work and what you end up with at the end. And you should definitely watch that because it's awesome. But we have heard that the reason why it was Shrinky Clinks was because Steve is shrinky and Bucky's arm clinks. Obviously, it did come from Shrinky Dinks originally, and there is no definitive proof of who used the term for the first time. Then a cracky alternate name was made for the reverse, which is Shrunky Clunks, for if you've got pre-war, un-Winter Soldierized Bucky, who's just a normal dude, and then Captain America. There's a small but dedicated number of Stony fans that use Stony Clinks and Stony Clunks to be non-superhero Steve and Iron Man Tony and vice versa. But there are so many iterations of these kinds of AUs, especially since Steve has three modern versions of himself to play with. We've got pre-serum, post-serum, but modern, i.e. he was born a Dorito naturally, and then Cap. And then we have Tony, who's got a non-celebrity version of Tony, MIT grad student, for example. Tony Stark, the famous celebrity guy we know, but without Afghanistan. And then Iron Man. So, like, and then Bucky, you know, just to focus on these three boys, we've also got Bucky as pre-war Bucky, Bucky in the army as a sniper, Winter Soldier Bucky, post-Winter Soldier Bucky, whatever he turns into in Infinity War and Endgame. There's a lot of iterations.
Yeah, and you can go out from that. Like, you could have Nat as, you know, somebody who was really like, I love every joke that we make ever that Nat's really sneaky or that Nat's a spy and like in yeah. These AUs.
She knows everything about everyone.
Everyone. She has an affinity for knives and we don't know why. Like you could do it. Like I'm sure it's happening. I don't read Spidey Pool, but it feels like that's something that could easily happen in Deadpool and Spider-Man stuff too. Yeah. Like this kind of playing around is I think, growing in fandom, although it is definitely the biggest ship doing it still is Stucky, for sure.
Yeah, it's one of the largest numbers I've crunched. There were 704 Stucky fics that were tagged with Shrinky Clinks, or it's actually a canonized tag on AO3, so it's a whole umbrella, and everything posted with a relative of that tag will fall under that umbrella. So 704 is probably pretty accurate. It was harder to come up with numbers for Shrunky Clunks because it's not a canonized tag. So, but it seemed to be about the same. A couple little math things I did ended up still around 700. So they're both pretty popular.
And so actually picking one for this particular trope was not as easy as I thought it would be. Like, I've bookmarked a lot of these, I'll be honest, because this is my favorite way to read Stucky. One of the two, either one of these, I love both of them, but I love playing with the modern version of one of them. I'm not a huge pre-war Stucky reader. It's just not my jam. I don't love that vibe as much. And so this is kind of what I love the most. And so we chose a story written by Bunny McCool from 2018, which is called Hey Asshole, A New York City Love Story.
Right off the bat, we're loving that.
We're here for it. I'll say too, when I first got into fandom and I was starting to ask for fic recs, this is one of the very first ones that was ever given to me. So it does hold a bit of a special place in my heart.
The AO3 summary for this one is, Bucky's running late for the bus and he's stuck in line behind some ridiculous shoulder to waist ratio bastard who's too busy flirting with the baristas to get his frickin' order in. After he tells the dude off, completely in his rights, he feels, the damn oversized puppy-faced ass keeps following him around and trying to apologize. And okay, dude is hot like burning. Bucky doesn't have time or patience for soothing the wounded ego of some gym rat wannabe with an obsession for dressing like he's hiding from the mob. And why are you laughing, Sam? Which leads us right into one of the best parts of the fic, which is that Sam is friends with both of them and Bucky doesn't know.
So everybody is an Avenger that you know and love in this fic, except for Bucky.
Like, Sam is it's got some of the later Avengers too. Sam is an Avenger as well. But Bucky doesn't know this.
Bucky has no idea. And you get a feeling that Bucky barely knows there are Avengers. Like, they're kind of like in the ether of his existence, but like, he doesn't really give a fuck because all he really needs to do is get to the VA on time.
He's very focused on survival at the cost of paying attention to almost everything else in his life.
And really seriously though, it's really clear. Like, Bucky is fresh back from Afghanistan. His arm was taken off by an IED. He does not have a prosthetic in this fic, and it is a big part of who he is in this fic, is the unbalancedness he feels of his body, the way that strangers react to it. This kind of like, I can't handle anyone fucking up my routine, is because the routine is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a utterly authentic view of what Steve faced with, I mean, I'm saying authentic as though this person is real. I respect that. But like, Steve is so clearly an awkward golden retriever.
Yes.
In this fic, it is so like, this is who we would have gotten in 2012 Avengers. Like, this fic could take place in 2013 and it would be perfectly hilarious.
One of my favorite things about it is that everybody else knows that Steve's Captain America. It's not like it's a secret. My impression is that a lot of people don't know Sam's the Falcon, or that probably would have come up earlier.
But yeah.
Steve having this extremely famous dual identity, when he was thawed, that was public knowledge. And Bucky missed it because he was in his recovery period. And so he didn't really process it. So when he meets Steve, he just sees this like incredibly gorgeous idiot in front of him wasting time, but the baristas are like, they're flirting with him because he's Captain America, he's famous. Like, there's this whole air around Bucky that the reader gets that Bucky absolutely does not get, that this is Captain America and that's why the seas part for him, and Bucky just has, he just does not get it.
Yeah, and everyone is looking at Bucky like he is weird.
Yeah, like, you just told off Captain America.
What is wrong with you? You just cursed out Cap. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm late.
That is my second bus I've missed.
And Steve's so sweet in this fic.
Oh, he's so precious. But I also love that the team loves Steve and are so on board with making fun of him for this crush he has on this guy.
You don't get a lot because it stays in Bucky's perspective the whole time, but yeah, the little snippets that you get, and especially at the end when you see some of the team interacting, the way that they treat Steve, it's so affectionate and like, it's just so honestly nice to imagine this Steve who didn't have Bucky growing up to get to have that kind of closeness with people now.
Yeah, there's this, one of the tiny little details that sticks with me about this is at the very, very end, when they have that banner in the hospital, it says, can I build you an arm? Check yeah. Yes and yes.
And then it's like, Tony, this is not how you talk. This is not how you bring up things like this.
Like this, and you can absolutely tell it's Natasha's handwriting. Like, it's, yeah. It is a found family team fit from an outsider POV.
And yet you also 100% get to taste the future where they are going to accept Bucky into this family like that. Like it's so, there's so much space ready for him.
Yeah.
And I love that feeling that they can have this super positive, loving relationship with these inside jokes and be this family that's kind of currently going over Bucky's head a little bit because he doesn't know many of them. And yet the fic still establishes for the reader that there is absolutely room for Bucky and they cannot wait to expand their family to include him. And that's such a warm future you're looking at that you don't get that feeling at the end. I mean, I desperately wanted more.
I did too. This could have kept going for thousands more words and I would have been happy.
Yeah, and there actually is a sequel, which is actually Steve's POV of exactly the same story.
Yes, and it's so worth your time. It's wonderful.
But there isn't a sequel after this, which I would love to read. But even without a sequel, you can feel what some of the future is going to hold. And I love getting that feeling at the end of a story that you are going, that, you know, it's upward trending.
Yeah, I love, when I close the last page of a book or click off a fic, I want to believe that that life, that happiness is existing without me. And I could always like check back in 5 years later and they're doing okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that feeling.
And that's what I'm looking for. It's why I only read happily ever afters or at least like resolved stuff, because I want to be able to still think they are existing somewhere else.
Yeah.
And this fic gave me that feeling, just like you were saying.
Ashley and I have actually, we use a term between the two of us called and then, where if we read a fic where it runs up to say the moment of the talk where they reveal they have feelings for each other or the first kiss or something like that, but you don't know what they're going to be doing in 5 years. You don't have that feeling that like the moment after where you kind of come down from that and still like each other, mm-hmm. is like you have that question mark of like, oh, I just really want to know. So it's like, and then what happens? And then, so if we read a fic where we get that and then feeling, we'll just come to each other and be like, and then?
And then I think this happened. And then, yeah.
Yeah. And this fic is one of those ones that falls in between because you can absolutely see how wonderful it's going to be in 5 years, but that kind of gives you the end then feeling just because you want to get to live in it a little longer and you want to get to be a part of that as well.
Yeah. Like I want to see the first time one of them tries to adopt a puppy. Like I want to see like Bucky dragging Steve to a VA event. Like, and they are all hanging out with like 98-year-old veterans and Bucky just thinks that Steve's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But of course he can't say that because he's so cool. And Sam's just like, come off it, dude. You love him. Like, it's like,
I just picture them walking around together with like Steve doing his little like golden retriever, like, look, I have a Bucky, and Bucky trying to be all cool. But like, actually he's a total smush for Steve.
He's a total smush. And I want an 80-year-old woman named Gladys to be somehow involved in their engagement. Like,
yeah, it's like, there's got to be another term for and then, which is like, it's
I just want to live in this longer. This
yeah.
world that you have created, I want to move there.
You're not ready to let go yet. Yeah, they've given you a whole story. There's a whole story there.
Like, they've done their job and they've done it so well. I want more.
But I want more. Yeah.
Yeah. We ran a much more comprehensive poll and discussion about AUs on the server, but on Twitter, we exercised their ability to force you all to only pick one. And we ran a quick poll of the three AUs that we talked about this week. And the votes that we got, modern slash superhero trope, came in first with 66%. Then we have coffee shop and bakery with 23% and space sci-fi bringing up 11%. We had some great conversation back and forth, and my personal favorite one is from at SarahCakes613 on Twitter, who says, I love a regular person with a superhero partner. It's like, sorry, Ma, he can't make it to dinner. Why? Oh, he's because an evil scientist in another country built an octopus death ray. So yeah, just going to be me tonight. Which I thought was fantastic.
I think that sums it up nicely.
So we're curious, guys, what of these... Do you have any in these categories that you want more of? Are there AUs that you read that you want to move to those worlds and hang out in? Are there, you know, how does this work for you?